In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, God our Father, when he designed us, he gave us our five senses to enable us to interact with reality, to know reality. And if we lose one or more of those senses, we become seriously impaired. We are no longer to interact with reality in a way that's fully functioning. And this is what has happened to the man in the gospel. The man in the gospel, he's not able to receive sound from reality. His body doesn't register sounds from reality. And he's also not able to make sounds in order to communicate with those who are outside of him. And this is a very serious impairment for a person. Today we would call such a person disabled. And we would have people around him to take care of him, because we know that this state of being disabled would make him compromised and very vulnerable when dealing with life. So as bad as it is to be physically impaired, to be disabled, there's an even more serious impairment. And it also involves our ability to interact with reality. And this is an impairment on the spiritual side, because God not only gave us our senses, our five senses, for us to know the world outside of us, he also gave us our intellect, our minds, so that we're able to think. And we're meant to use the power of the intellect to understand what is real, what is true, and what is false. And there's a right way of using our intellect, and there's a wrong way. There's a certain impairment that can afflict us when we use our intellect in such a way that we're making bad judgments about what is true. And we may say that we're a bit at a disadvantage with regards to our intellect and our perspective on the world if we really want to understand what is real and have that correct perspective. So we're obviously wounded by original sin, and one of the wounds of original sin is ignorance, which means it's difficult for us to find the truth. We often jump to conclusions, or we don't have enough information in order to make the right judgment. But besides that, there is this fact that we tend to see ourselves as the center of reality. And the reason why we do that is because we are the center of our perspective of reality. Just by the fact that we're the person who we are, we are the ones who are looking out to reality and trying to judge it. And as a result, we kind of see ourselves as the focal point for all reality. When in fact, we know that's not the case. The real center of reality is God, because God makes reality. He makes there to be what is. I'm not the focal point of reality. Even though I'm the center of my perception of reality, I'm not the center of reality as such. I'm not the absolute center. And we may say a big effort of our life is to get that proper perspective. And this is what we try to do through our Catholic faith. We try to understand over the course of our life more and more deeply what it means to be a creature and who God is, who actually is that source of all that is real, who is our Father in heaven, and to know him, to love him, to serve him. And then in that way, to properly align our perspective, to really understand what is real and what is not real. So, as it stands, we have a certain spiritual disability because of our pride, to the degree that we're afflicted with pride, and we don't see things from the proper perspective. We may say we have a spiritual disability, and this spiritual disability leads us to make bad judgments about what is true and what is false. So our faith assists us to see reality as it really is, with God at the center and us as just these little tiny creatures that he has made. I hope that this this point that I'm trying to make helps us understand why, when you have a society that turns more and more away from God, society becomes crazier and crazier. I mean, if God is really the source, the center of all reality, to the degree that we ourselves are thinking that we're God, and even going so far as to think that we can make reality, then we're getting crazy. Or our spiritual disability is increasing. We're getting more off kilter. We're getting more off center. The more we veer from God, the more we're getting off center. And you know what we call it when you have a spiritual disability that reaches an extreme. We talk about people as becoming insane. We call it madness. You know, when someone's just like they think what is real, what in fact is not actually real. Like, this is crazy. What you're thinking is real is not actually real. It's just in your mind. And well, we've had this project in the Western world of deifying man, making overextending the rights of man. For over a century, St. Pius X spoke about it when he was Pope over 100 years ago. And we've reached a point where we can say there's a certain madness that afflicts modern society today. I think perhaps when people look back on this decade of the 2020s, they might well call it that was the decade of madness, because our society is so far from reality. It's a mad world out there, and there's stories that come out all the time. Each week there's a new news story. The one from this past week was the story I'm sure probably almost all of you know about, is this woman boxer in the Olympics was facing off against a boxer who, at least biologically, physically, has XY chromosomes and therefore has the physiognomy of a male, the strength of a male. And after 45 seconds, she quit and said, you know, this is the hardest I've ever been punched in my boxing career. And so to save my life, I had to quit. And everybody's up in arms, and they're saying, you know, that the Olympics is not respecting the differences between men and women, that men are physically stronger than women. And so it's not fair when a man goes up against a woman in a physical contest. Of course, this is true. They want the differences between men and women to be respected by having just women box against women, and men box against men. So it's all fair. But many of these conservative people crying out for this fairness in the Olympics are not realizing that they themselves are afflicted by this same disease. They themselves are not seeing reality as it actually is. That they themselves do not respect the differences between men and women, and they have forgotten the differences between a man and woman, because no one of them is saying to themselves or saying to the world, why in the world are we having women boxing to begin with? Why in the world are we having women beat up women? It's fairly normal for a man to beat up a man, because men are made by God to be protectors of their family. But God has designed women to be the nurturers of their family and to train them to fight and to be vicious and to be experts in beating people up, necessarily destroys the feminine instinct in what God has made them to be the nurturers of their family. So if we looked at how God has made us as women and as men and women, and we said we want to respect the differences between men and women, and we want to give to women what God has endowed them with, we would say we don't want them to get on a world stage and beat one another up. We do want our young men to train to fight so they can be strong and defend their family. But we want our women to foster that instinct for nurturing so they can be good mothers and good nurses and so on. I think it would be unthinkable for our grandmothers, or if you're thinking about your daughters, maybe my daughter will be a boxer one day, you know, and be really good at getting the KO against another woman. This would be, it's there's something tragic, but there's also something horrific about it. There are some other things that denature women and destroy their femininity and do not respect their proper identity that God has given them, that these people should be crying out against if they were truly wanting to respect women, and to say, well, men and women are different, so we need to treat them differently. And those two things are birth control and abortion. You think about what birth control does to a woman. What does a birth control do to a woman? It effectively destroys her fertility cycles. It makes her unable to conceive a child. And it therefore is damaging her body so that it doesn't have its proper function, and rendering her to be like a man, because men can't have children. Right? That's one of the major differences between man and woman, is that men cannot have children. So what birth control does is it turns a woman, it makes a woman like a man by making her incapable of having children. And then abortion, of course, kills that life that is in her. That her body is trying to produce life. Her is giving life. The bodies of women, God has designed them to be the source of life, to give life. And abortion goes in and it terminates that. It cuts off that what her body is trying to do, what her feminine capacity is trying to do. Not only that, but birth control and abortion do not encourage women to be treated like women. I mean, when women modify themselves hormonally and they destroy their fertility cycles and they try to suppress that motherly instinct, and men understand that they're doing this, what happens is it often makes men who do not have good intentions go after them. They say, well, if a man knows that this woman could be the mother of his child, he's going to treat her, be much more likely to treat her with respect as a woman than if he says, well, you know, she's not capable of bearing children, so I would just use her as an object of pleasure. So the point is that the birth control does not assist people to respect the difference between men and women. And it goes the opposite direction. It encourages people to gloss over the fundamental differences that God has given to men and women. If these people really are upset with women boxing against men, if they really wanted to honor the differences between the sexes, there's another thing that they would be against. They would also be against divorce, because divorce is really injurious for women. Men are not nearly as inclined to form a family as women are. And so the church and society has always sought to assist and protect women, who are obviously the ones bearing the children. A man can have a woman conceive a child and then just walk away and not take responsibility over that. So marriage is an institution that protects the woman and assists her to have the resources she needs to bring up a child and give it all that it needs. And when you institute divorce in a society, when you say to men and women, well, you can break up with no consequences whatsoever, you divorce whenever you want, the so-called no-fault divorce, and you just divide your money and you go your separate ways, this is encouraging men not to commit themselves to women, not to commit themselves to having a family. And as I say, I mean, it's God has made women such that they really strongly, often strongly inclined to form a family. And so if society really loved women and wanted to uphold the differences between men and women, they would put structures in place that would assist women in forming families, in having families. But divorce goes the opposite way. So my point is that there are many conservatives out there who cry out against the transgender movement, against men competing in women's sports, but what they don't realize is they themselves accept the principles on which the transgender movement and women competing against men are based. They just don't accept the current manifestation, the current working out of those principles. They accept last generation's principles about that. Last generation's sort of wiping away the differences between men and women. They just don't accept this generation's principles. And we know what's going to happen to the next generation. They will slowly accept all the things they reject right now. The conservative movement does not stop anything. It only slows things down. That's the only thing that happens. And I hope that you see how valuable it is to possess a faith which teaches us what God has made, teaches the truth about reality, the differences between men and women, and where those truths don't change from generation to generation, and where we can sit around and live in a world that, in certain respects, has gone crazy with these crazy ideas and is not recognizing basic realities anymore. And we are able to say, well, doesn't make any sense. We have a certain immunity to the Kool-Aid because we adhere to an unchanging faith that we believe comes from God himself, who is the source of all reality. And that's our reference point. Our reference point is truly what God has revealed to the human race. This is an incredible blessing for us that we must be careful to preserve. G.K. Chesterton once said in his book, The Catholic Church and Conversion, he said, "The Catholic Church is the only thing which saves a man from the degrading slavery of being a child of his age." The unchanging truths of the Catholic faith are the only thing that saves us from just going along with the flow. Whatever crazy ideas might exist in your day, the Catholic faith makes you immune to that, to the degree that you adopt it and you live it. So the only thing that saves us from spiritual madness, from this spiritual disability, is to know reality. And we know reality by knowing God and placing him at the center of reality. And we do that through the Catholic faith, which teaches us who God is and how we relate to him. So this is one of the reasons why the beginning of the end of our civilization was the rejection of the Catholic Church. We want to go to the source. It was like the Protestant revolt against the Catholic Church, where they reject God. And like people were shocked that there's this mockery of the Last Supper at the Olympics, but the Eucharist was rejected 500 years ago by the Protestants. They rejected the true presence, the real presence. So, but I especially want to point out two of our Catholic practices that really make us, God willing, immune to today's spiritual disabilities, that really help us to see reality as it is. The first is precisely our devotion to the Most Blessed Sacrament, where we not only have these truths that we believe about God, but we believe that God is really present here on this altar, that he comes down upon this altar. And what do here at Mass? We adore him. We act as his creatures. We acknowledge him as the source of our very being. We acknowledge him as the transcendent God who sustains us in existence. We're living the real reality when we do that, when we come to Mass. And then you come up to the communion rail and you receive him inside of you. And you go back to your pew and you adore him within your heart. And you speak to him and say that you love him. You ask him for the things that you need. There's no greater way, there's no more powerful way to connect with the heart of what reality is than through the Most Blessed Sacrament. The second practice is our devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because you know that she is the one creature that God has elevated above all the other creatures. And God has taken her, he's kind of placed her really close to the center of reality. She's close to God. She's the closest creature to God. So she really can say, I'm close to the center of reality. And yet, she is so conscious of the fact that she's a creature. She is yet so humble. She has this incredible greatness, and at the same time, she is so unbelievably humble. She's real. She lives in reality. Our Lady lives the real reality. And this is a perfect example for us. And those who are close to Our Lady are going to have the proper perspective. They're going to see things as they are. They're not going to be caught up in some sort of spiritual madness, spiritual disability, because someone who is close to her is necessarily going to see things as they are. So, my dear faithful, let us, in these crazy times, let us cling to our Catholic faith and try to deepen our appreciation of these truths, the truths of our Catholic faith, which help us see what it really is. It's not a good thing at all to be under illusion, to be living under illusion. Just like if you're deaf or blind or whatever, it's really impairing. So too, it's not good to be living under illusion. Our Catholic faith gives us the truth, and then hopefully the devout practice of our Catholic faith makes that reality seep into us and become so much a part of our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.